If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, begin verse 54. Luke 22, verse 54. Then seizing Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. But an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly, this man was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord that the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you would disown me three times." He went outside and wept bitterly. As we come to this familiar story, let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we look to you this morning for wisdom. Again, Lord, as we read familiar stories, one is tempted, I think, to just kind of put brain on neutral. But Lord, I know that you have something here for each one of us. So open our hearts to hear your Spirit this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Without a doubt, Peter was a genuine believer who deeply loved Jesus Christ. Back in Mark 10, verse 28, Peter said to Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you." After leaving his fishing boats to become a fisher of men, Peter listened to Jesus' teachings for 3 years. He'd been in the front row to see and to verify Jesus' miracles. From what he had seen and heard, Peter came to the conclusion in John chapter 6 where he said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." Later, Luke 19, verse 20, when Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "The Christ, the Messiah of God." Among the 12, no one was more vocal about loving Jesus than Peter. Earlier, just hours before Jesus' arrest up in the upper room, Luke writes that Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison, even to death." But in that same night that Judas betrayed Jesus, Peter denied him. So we just read, Luke wrote that seizing Jesus, they led him away and took Jesus into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. While Jesus was being interrogated by Annas, the former high priest, then Caiaphas, Annas' son-in-law and the current high priest, Peter was loitering in the courtyard, connecting the two men's houses. It was here that he insisted he'd never even met Jesus. While Jesus was silent before his accusers, Peter couldn't keep his mouth shut as he fearfully kept spouting lies to protect himself. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, "All scriptures God breathes and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." All four Gospels include the story about Peter. One hand, it's a warning about the weakness of the flesh and the consequences of sin, in spite of the best intentions. On the other hand, it shows the mercy, the grace, the love the Savior had as Peter's forgiven and restored. The story of Peter's denial really began hours earlier, as his humanness comes to the forefront. There's an old saying that says, "Hindsight is 20/20." Looking back at the hours leading up to Peter's downfall, there are several warning flags or indicators of what was ahead. One indicator was Peter's pride. Pride that's seen as overconfidence and as boasting. It's obvious in the upper room where, when Peter said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison or to death." But also on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane, he continued to insist on his loyalty. Turn to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Mark 14, beginning verse 26. Mark 14, beginning verse 26. When they sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, the end of the Lord, the Last Supper. Verse 27, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I won't." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. In his overconfidence, in his pride, Peter just knew that he was incapable of denying Jesus. Solomon wrote back in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. This is certainly true for Peter, and honestly, for each one of us as well. As well as being filled with pride, which led to boasting and even to arguing with his master, Peter prayed too little. When Jesus and the disciples arrived in the garden, Jesus told them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Jesus knew what they would be facing in the hours ahead. Now was the time for Peter and the other apostles to prepare for the spiritual battle. But instead, Peter, along with James and John, slept when he should have been watching and praying, even after Jesus had repeatedly rebuked him for falling asleep. Let me remind you of that too. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, picking up in verse 40. Matthew 26, verse 40. Jesus has already gone to pray. He's come back in verse 20. "Then Jesus returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Could you men not watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Jesus went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it's not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back again, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then Jesus returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Not praying enough, as well as being filled with pride, and not praying enough, Peter was just too impatient. After Jesus woke up the sleeping disciples the last time, the mob arrived to arrest him. Peter, as you remember, impatiently drew a sword, operating in the flesh, wanting to prove his earlier statements of loyalty to Christ. Peter didn't wait for the instructions from Jesus. He quickly sprang into action as he attacked and managed to cut off the ear of the high priest's servant before Jesus could even stop him. Finally, Peter followed too far behind. Luke wrote that as the soldiers led Jesus to the house of the high priest, Peter followed at a distance. Peter found himself in a hard place. He was caught between faith and fear, between loyalty and terror, between courage and cowardice. He was curious to see what would happen to Jesus, but not brave enough to stand with him. Indicators of Peter's imminent fall: there's Peter's pride. Peter prayed too little. He was too impatient. And he followed too far behind Jesus. And so, hoping to blend in and be unidentified in the dark, he entered the courtyard of the high priest to watch from a distance. Assuming that he was well hidden, Peter was unprepared for the interrogation that followed, the interrogation that led to his downfall. As Peter followed at a distance, Jesus was taken first to the house of Annas, the former high priest. Biblically, the position of a high priest was designed as a lifetime position. But under the control of the Roman government, the position of high priest had become a political assignment. Caiaphas was the current political appointee to that position. As a son-in-law of Annas, Caiaphas and Annas shared the same courtyard. To go from the household of Annas to the house of Caiaphas, one just had to go across the courtyard. It was here, in this shared courtyard, that all of Peter's denials took place. The courtyard leading into the houses would have been entered from the street via a gate, which opened to the corridor leading into the inner courtyard. From John's account of Peter's denial in John 18, Peter wasn't allowed to enter until another disciple, whom we assume is John, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty at the gate, and he brought Peter in. Once in, Peter went to warm himself up by the fire. It was here, as he sat trying to blend in with the officers of the temple guard, with the members of the household staff warming themselves in the middle of the night, that he was suddenly recognized. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. According to John, she was the same slave girl who had opened the gate for Peter. She looked closely at him. Perhaps she'd seen Peter along with Jesus when they'd been in the temple. Perhaps she was suspicious after letting Peter into the courtyard. Regardless of the reason, this least threatening girl imaginable said, "This man was with him." The other gospels seem to imply that she said it more than once, and loudly enough that the entire group huddled around the fire heard her. Shocked, caught off guard, Peter panicked, and he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him." Mark adds that he said, "I don't know or understand what you're talking about." In a moment of weakness, the overconfident, the prideful apostle was brought low by a simple question from a lowly servant girl. Embarrassed, perhaps eager to escape, Peter left the fire and went into the entryway, the corridor that led back to the street. Peter tried to hide in the entryway. Here, away from everyone else, Peter hoped to regain his composure and maintain his lack of identity. However, Peter's reprieve was short-lived. As he cowered in the entryway, he is recognized again. We read, Luke wrote, "A little later, someone else saw him and said, 'You also are one of them.' 'Man, I am not,' Peter replied." Perhaps the way out was blocked. He couldn't get out. Perhaps he was still concerned about what would happen to Jesus. So in spite of the questioning, Peter stayed in the courtyard in the darkness near the house of the high priest. About an hour later, Peter was challenged again. Another asserted, "Certainly this man was with him, for he's a Galilean." Matthew says that Peter's accent gave him away. John adds that one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Peter's third response was the most vehement and demonstrative of all. "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Mark says that he began to call down curses. He swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about at all." In addition to repeating his lying oath that he did not know Jesus, Peter now pronounced God's curses on himself, calling for divine judgment to fall on him if he were lying. What had started out as a single lie to a simple little girl had escalated into a fury of lying denials to many of the bystanders in the courtyard, along with cursing and swearing. Then, as Jesus had predicted, just as Peter was speaking, the rooster crowed. At that very moment, Jesus, most likely being led across the courtyard, turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." Peter's heart must have been instantly filled with feelings of guilt, remorse, shame. The look on Jesus' face was one that Peter was never going to forget. Contrary to all of his protests, Peter had done exactly as Jesus said he would do. His prideful boasts were just so much hot air. He'd been disloyal, disobedient, dishonest. while the bystanders are watching Jesus, deeply convicted and broken over his actions, Peter went outside and wept bitterly. But although his courage had failed, Peter's faith didn't. Evidence of Peter's faith can be seen in what happened in the days that followed. It was in John chapter 20, where Peter and John were the two that raced to the empty tomb. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, we're told that Peter was one of the first to see the risen Christ. Later, back in John chapter 20, Peter was with the disciples when they gathered in the upper room after Jesus' resurrection. And Jesus appeared to them. And it was in Galilee that Peter was fully reinstated to ministry by the Lord during the encounter on the beach. Finally, in less than 2 months, this man had been so filled with fear before an insignificant slave girl. This man had been so spirit-filled that he became the preacher in the beginning of the book of Acts, beginning with a sermon in Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. God in his mercy, his grace, and his love welcomed Peter back. The lesson of Peter is kind of a tragic story. Here was a man who thought he would stand up for Jesus, but he was not ready for battle as he thought. Honestly, it's hard to overestimate the pressure Peter faced there in that courtyard. Peter's denials show that without total reliance on God, circumstances can cause even the most intimate of Jesus' followers to crumble. The disappointment of Peter's fall was great. His failure was so painful that it left him in tears. But before we judge Peter too severely, we need to examine our own lives too. How many times have we denied the Lord in how we live? Or in lost opportunities to share the gospel with others? Do we in our relationship with Jesus Christ like Peter talk when he should be listening? Argue when we should obey? Sleep when we should be praying? Or fight when you should submit to God? Do pride and overconfidence get in the way of living the life that we should live, just as it did for Peter? Failure to recognize the enemy places believers and their witness in danger. Paul explained that reality in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Like vigilant soldiers, Christians must be on constant guard, not only against Satan and the world, but also against the flesh. 1 John 2, 15 and 16 says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." Those who become prideful and overconfident make themselves easy targets for the enemy. In Peter's story, we see that pride and overconfidence, lack of prayer, not walking with God, makes one spiritually vulnerable. But God gives the victory to those who are humble, who depend on Him, and who are on guard in the face of temptation. Peter himself summarized this in 1 Peter chapter 5. "All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Peter had been there. He'd experienced it. He knew what he was talking about. As Jesus had also predicted, Peter used his experience of failure in restoration to strengthen other Christians. The rooster's crowing had been God's invitation to Peter to repent. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Peter was distraught by what he had done. He confessed, and God forgave him. After Jesus met him on the beach, he was restored to his position of leadership in evangelism. Similarly, when we confess our sins, God will forgive them. He'll remove them. As you read from the readings earlier, from Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far as God removed our transgressions from us. Writing from experience, in the closing of his last letter, perhaps days before he was killed, Peter challenged all believers to learn from him, to avoid overconfidence and pride by being on guard and continuing to grow in grace and knowledge. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. The closing of Paul's second letter, of Peter's second letter. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning verse 17. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. Peter writes, "Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on guard, so you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Put pride behind you. Pray without ceasing. Wait on the Lord. Follow him. Walk in his steps. And then be strong in your Christian witness to the world, to those watching you. Let's pray. Lord, there are so many temptations to the flesh outside. Lord, help us to be on guard. Help us to learn from the stories that we see in the Bible, from stories here, other places. Lord, help us to keep pride under control. Help us, Lord, to be continually in conversation with you. Help us to be praying without ceasing. Lord, help us to wait on you, to move as you would have us to move and when you would have us to move. Help us to follow you. Help us, Lord, to be the men and the women that you would have us to be. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.